Stranger to us. He and I met at Mount Salem Revival Grounds in West Virginia. I don't really know what year it was, but long, long time ago. And it's just a blessing to meet men years ago and now today find them the same. And it's a good to have him here today. Give him your attention. Listen carefully.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right. Well, good morning. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Come on now. Good morning. All right, I'll make you do jumping jacks. I've done it before. I mean, good to see you all and good to be back. It's always good to be here at Faith. And I sure love your preacher. He's he's my number one counselor. You say you're an evangelist here. Yep, but I have to seek counsel from different pastors, and he's right on the top of the list. And I sure appreciate his wisdom, his spirituality, and that I can go to him and know I have a friend in him. So. And I will say this, and I know he's mad at me right now, but anyway, I tell people all over the country that you all have the best pastor in America here, and don't take that for granted. He's a great man, and God sure has used him. But anyways, my wife Terry, she already stood, you know, thank the Lord for her being here. I ask you if you pray for her this week. She has a surgery on Wednesday. As she puts it, they're cutting my throat. She has two bad parathyroids. She's got osteoporosis. They're removing two parathyroids, one on each side of her neck, on Wednesday. So if you pray for her, I know she's a bit nervous about that. And prayer changes things. Amen? Prayer helps. So good to be with you all again. Thank you, preacher, for allowing me to come. If you would, grab your Bible and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. And we'll look there at one verse of scripture there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You know, sometimes the hardest part of life is coping with the unknown. Preacher's already made comments today about, boy, we are in a weird day and age, and there's so much turmoil and chaos everywhere. You know, the future that seems very bright to some people can end up being very bewildering to other people. Sometimes it's because of predicaments that we've gotten ourselves into. And other times it's just the circumstances of life, the things that are going on around about us. When we lose a loved one, when we lose a job, many different things that can cause that to happen. And again, when we fall into sin. But I want to read one verse of Scripture to you. I typically don't preach like this, but it's just something the Lord laid on my heart, and I'm going to jump from this passage of Scripture into others. It's a topical kind of message this morning. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse number 8, it says this: better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You know, what really matters is how it all ends up. What really matters is how it all ends up in your life. Amen. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning of it. Let me just say this also. Sometimes we see in the book of Proverbs and some in Ecclesiastes that in the middle of a verse there'll be a contrast. But that's not a contrast, that second part of that verse. What do you mean? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Because sometimes that's what it takes. Just patience waiting on God. Because God knows everything that we've been through. God knows everything that we're going through right now. And God knows everything that we will go through. And we have to remind ourselves that He has allowed it to happen. Amen. He knows the end from the beginning. And matter of fact, that verse, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10, says, "For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me," declaring the end from the beginning. Amen. He's the one that's got it all down. Amen. We just need to trust Him. Romans 8:28 also tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." Do we believe Scripture or not? Amen. It's all going to work out. And you may sit here this morning and say, "Yeah, well, we know the Scripture, Brother Martin, but you know what? Sometimes it's difficult." Yeah, and in this human frail existence enveloped with this mortal, corruptible flesh, sometimes it is hard to keep sight in the right direction. The things that we know are sometimes not as easily lived. Amen? But that's where faith has to take control. And again, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Can I put it this way to you this morning? God always wants the end to be better than the beginning. Always. Zero exceptions. He wants the end of everything. That means He wants the end of your life to be better than the beginning of your life. Amen. He wants the end of your marriage to be better than the beginning of your marriage. You know, we talk about the honeymoon and all that all the time, you know, preacher, and how things are going. Wait a minute. It ought to be growing, and it ought to be getting better all the time. That's the way God intended it to be. Amen. If it's not, it's not God's fault. Amen. God wants the end of your parenting to be better than the beginning. I know what some of you are thinking. Good night, man. I wish I could change this thing right now, man. And the beginning years of our parenting are always difficult. Man, there's struggles and battles, and don't get much better toward the end either, does it? But I'm thinking about how raising our children. Boy, I tell you, I was a tough dad. I was one of those guys that was really hard on my kids, and for the sake of the Word of God and trying to keep them straight. And there were times where I thought, man, my kids are going to hate my guts by the time they leave this house. They're not going to want to be around me. They're not going to want to. But the truth of the matter is, the end has been better than the beginning. All five of my children are so close to me. Matter of fact, God gave us the privilege to move back to Michigan to be close to all of them. And my last son, who was on the other side of the state, just sold and moved to our side of the state. All of us are together there, and they want to be that way. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Can I say, God wants the end of our Christian life to be better than the beginning? People say, "Well, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven." Wait a minute. You better be growing, because that's what God wants it to be. He wants you to grow and become better. He wants the end to be better than the beginning. Amen? And God wants the end of our trials to be better than the beginning. Every trial we face, God wants He intends that the end is better than what happened at the beginning. Amen. When you can't see through the circumstances, you got to trust the one that controls them. And the truth is that second part of that verse is so important when it says the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. That pride in our situations gets us in so many problems, so many troubles. But I want to preach for a few moments on this thought, kind of a different kind of thought, but I want to preach for a few moments on this. What will keep your end from being better than your beginning? God wants the end to be better. But there's things in our life that if we're not careful will keep our end from being better than our beginning. Father, I pray that you'd bless the next few moments we spend together. And Lord, I do pray that you would challenge our hearts today. And Father, I pray that you would encourage those that need encouraging. I pray that you would strengthen those that need strengthened today. I pray that if there's somebody in our midst that's never been truly born again, that today would be that day, Father, that you'd do the work that only you can do. Father, we look to you and we trust your word and the Spirit of God to work in our lives today. Please accomplish what you desire in Jesus' name. Amen. Look back with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Again, I said this is a topical kind of thought here, and I just want to throw a few things at you in Philippians chapter 3 of things that will keep your end from being better than your beginning. Philippians, chapter 3, and you know, Paul started out here talking about all those things that he had to trust in and all those things that he had to glory in the beginning of his life. And he says in verse number 4, though I might have might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have where he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency, the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I might have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Boy, one of the quickest things that will keep your end from being better than your beginning is living in and focusing on the past. Man, oh man, there's so many people that God wants to do a work in their life, and they struggle, and maybe you've had a bad past in your life, and maybe you've just been saved or haven't been saved that long, and you look back over your life and say, man, there were so many things about my life and so many things that I can't do this and I can't do that. Don't you listen to the devil. God wants to do something in your life, and he wants your end to be much better than your beginning. If you sit here and live in the past, you will never fulfill what God wanted for your life. You'll never be able to accomplish it. The Apostle Paul was talking about here about how that, you know, he looked back at the past there, and we could read other portions of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 where he talks about how he persecuted the church and how he caused so much grief for the Christians and killed Christians and did these different things. And if he would have lived in the past of where his life was, the Apostle Paul would never have written the majority of the books in the New Testament. Amen. Well, he had to get over that. Well, how did he do it? Forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. What do you mean? It's a continual process. Some people say, well, you know what? You just got to forget it and let it go. You can't do that. What do you mean? There's no way when things happen in this human finite experience that we are going to be able to just totally erase those things from our mind and our life. It ain't happening, preacher. That's why he said forgetting. It is a continual thing. Amen. We have to every morning wake up. You know what? I'm saying, like that message you preached a number of years ago about that default settings in the computer, and you got to reprogram it every day. Hey, every day we got to get up. I'm a child of God. Amen. Hey, yeah, there were some things back there, but I'm forgetting about those things. I'm reaching forth. I'm pressing on. Amen. I want God to take my life and use it for his glory. Amen. Not my own. Amen. If he'd have lived in the past, and by the way, I'm not talking about just negative things. I'm talking about positive things. What do you mean? If we're not careful, we'll look back at the past and think, well, you know, I had all this, and look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. No, look what God wants to do with my life. Amen. You know, well, I've seen churches that used to be, well, and they still live in that, about, man, we did this, and we did that, and we did this, but wait a minute, that's in the past. Amen. He's got a pathway for us that he's trying to get us to live, to bring honor and glory to him every day of our life. He wants the end to be much better than the beginning of our lives. Amen. I think about my life, and I think about, and I've shared my testimony. Your preacher always, if I'm preaching with him, he'll challenge me to preach my testimony and talk about the past that I had. And truth of the matter is, there's some of it I don't like to talk about very much because it's pretty tough. But I'm raised in a home where as a little child, the earliest recollections of life were wrapping a pillow around my head to drown out the screams of my mom as my dad abused her and beat her. My dad was a World War II vet, had a nervous breakdown in the North African campaign. They discharged him with a medical discharge and put him on Valium, and he began to drink, and he became a very violent man, a very insanely jealous man. We lived through that as children. We would gather together before I even knew the Lord, but I knew there was a God, and we would cry out to that God and say, oh, God, please, would you keep Dad from coming home? All of us four little children. Hey, our house was a 700-square-foot house. We had one bedroom. My dad converted the attic into a bedroom where all four of us children slept in the attic up there. There were so many nights that I would walk by my mom's room and I'd watch her reading her Bible on the end of her bed. I had a godly mom. My dad was just had a tough, tough time. But I look back at that. I can remember I couldn't talk to anybody. I've probably said this before here. I could never get them to what I'm doing right now. I couldn't give a speech. My wife asked me the other day, she said, how did you ever pass speech? I said, I don't know. They felt sorry for me, I guess. I don't know. I would turn in written speeches, but I never stood up in front of anybody to say anything. I couldn't do it. I had one friend in high school, my graduating class over 800 students. I had one friend, and the only reason he was my friend is because he had a bird dog and I had rabbit dogs. So, if I lived in the past, I sure wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. People say, how can you do what you're doing now? It's just God. That's all. Amen. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with God and what God wants out of our life. Hey, you say, my life is different. My life, it doesn't matter what our past is. Doesn't matter. God wants us to not live in the past, but look forward to what he has for us in the future of our life. Amen. So wherever you're at, man, thank God that he's allowed you to get to the place that you're going and where you're at right now and keep looking forward. God didn't just save you for heaven's sake. He saved you to use you right now to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Again, we could talk about so many. I think about Moses and how Moses struggled and his speech impediment. And you know, he tried to stand up for the Lord at one time. And then 40 years later, God speaking to him. Well, thank God he listened to him 40 years later. Amen. And that he could be used the way that he was used. What are you saying? I'm saying, first of all, what will keep our end from being better than our beginning is living in the past. Or focusing on it. Second thing is this, 2 Timothy. Notice over here real quick in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're saved, you're a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. He saved you to be a soldier in his army. And then it goes on to say this in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The second thing that will cause your end to not be better than your beginning is getting caught up in the affairs of this life. And I'm going to tell you, there is a whole lot of Christians living right there right now. What do you mean? Caught up in the affairs of this life. What does it mean to be caught up in the affairs of this life? Here's the definition of that. The definition of affairs, it says transactions. It says business. Boy, we get caught up in the busyness of this life. It says occupation. That means living in. And then again, even the circumstances and trials. Well, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the affairs of this life, and it will hinder our end from being better than our beginning. Amen. God intends us to be good soldiers. A good soldier continues to war, continues to fight until the battle is done. And let me tell you something, folks, it's not going to be done in this life. Amen. It's only when it's all over we get to see him face to face. So we shouldn't be settling for anything other than that. Man, we ought to continue to go forward, not get caught up in the affairs of this life. I see so many people today that used to be. That used to be bus captains. That used to be soul winners. That used to do, but their life is so consumed and caught up in the affairs of this life. Listen, let me tell you something. Don't get me wrong on this, but God blesses us with his heritage and gives us children. But if we're not careful, we get caught up with our children and our children's lives, and we get so consumed in their life and wanting to be something more to them than just the leader and the pointing them to the Lord the way that we should be. Amen. I'm not talking about not loving your children. I'm talking about when all your focus goes to that and you stop doing everything else. God help us. How many times do families get, well, you know what, we just need some family time away. I need to get back away from this. I can't do this. I can't, because we need family time. We need, no, you need God time. Amen. And you need to be growing in the Lord, and we need to be pressing and moving on and not being caught up in the affairs of this life. And let me just say also, sin is an affair of this life that we get caught up in. Amen. If we're not careful, our life can be destroyed because of being caught up in the affairs of this life. There's so many stories that I could share with you this morning. People that were close to me, friends of mine, who ended up losing their lives because of getting caught up in the affairs of this life. Sin. Amen. A young man, his wife and him moved to our church, the church I was in before I went in the ministry, and one of his family members came to me and said, would you please kind of try to befriend him a little bit? And you know, he's just been saved. And I said, sure. So when he came to the church, when they moved there, I went up to him, met him, talked with him, encouraged him. And I thought, well, maybe I can get him on my bus route. So I asked him to come be a helper on the bus route. And he goes, well, I don't know much about that stuff, but I'd do it, sure. So he became a member of the came on the bus, and I taught him how to go soul winning, and I saw him win his first soul to the Lord, and he began to grow, and our families spent time together, and we had meals together, things. And but anyway, process of time, I went in the ministry, and right before I went in the ministry, the bus director came to me and said, do you think that he could run a bus route on his own? I said, I think he'd do a great job. So he put him on a bus route in Detroit, Michigan. His bus ran 70 to 80 people every Sunday. I mean, seeing people saved and seeing people. I came back to preach at the church during one of those time frames where I was back near home, and the preacher had me preach, and I after I got done, I went to his office for a minute. I left, and this guy's wife was standing outside the door, and she said, Brother Dan, would you pray for my husband? And I said, yeah. She said, I know you love him. He said, he's really going through something. I said, what is it? She said, I don't know. She said, he won't tell me. All he's saying is, I'm just not the man I used to be. Now, let me backtrack just a little bit. He had become a deacon in the church, too. Big church. Become deacon in the church. It was running this bus route, running all these people, getting all. She said, he just says, I'm not the man I used to be. I said, well, I don't understand. And she said, I don't understand either. I said, is there any way that he could be involved with a woman or something? She said, he says no, I don't know. Well, come to find out it was, he was involved with a woman. What ended up happening is a month later, I was going to go talk to him. And she said, don't do it. If you do, you know he's going to blow up. Don't do it. And I said, well, you tell me when it's time. And she said, okay. Within a month, he went in the preacher's office, dropped his keys on the desk and said, for the church and his bus and all that, and said, I'm done. Walked out. Their family, his children, he had six children. The first one had just had their first grandbaby, and come to find out there was a lady involved. The lady knew nothing about that he was married. And when she found out, she called it off. He spiraled, man. He just spiraled. He's a proud guy. Met with his wife, told her, He said, can I meet with you and talk with you? And she said, sure. He apologized to her. He said, I'm sorry I destroyed your life. She said, you haven't destroyed our life. She wanted to work it out. Just keep on going. Let's go. He said, no, it's too late. She said, no, let's work through this. He says, no, it's too late. He said, please tell the kids I really do love them. I'm so sorry. He left there that night, drove to a parking lot in a big mall about 45 minutes away and took his life. And I walked in the church. I had the privilege to be able to pass through there during the viewing. I wasn't able to be there for the funeral. And it's a big church, big auditorium like what yours is, open auditorium. And I saw these posters all around the walls from the bus kids. Brother Jeff, we loved you. Brother Jeff, we're going to miss you. All these went up and looked in the casket of a guy younger than me that I was friends with, that I was. I went back to the back to talk to his wife, and she said, Brother Dan, he couldn't get over the guilt. He couldn't find any peace in his life. What are you saying? He got caught up in the affairs of this life. He was a good deacon. He was, at one time, he was a good dad. He was a good, but what happened? Sin. Boy, you better stay away from sin. You better hate sin with a passion. I tell you this, preacher, I hate this person more than I've ever hated this person. I hate this old flesh. This old flesh is wicked and filthy and rotten and corrupt. Amen. I know the battles that I face every day of my life. And if you're truthful as a child of God, you struggle and battle every day in your life. But it is a battle. It's a war that we're fighting. Amen. And if we'll just stay close to God, we'll stay on His side, He'll use our lives. And the end will be better than the beginning. Don't get caught up in the affairs of this life, because it will hinder your end from being better than your beginning. The third thing, look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. What will keep our end from being better than our beginning? Living in the past. Getting caught up in the affairs of this life. Third thing, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Third thing is failing to grow in grace. Amen. Every child of God is to be growing continually. There's not a person here that's arrived. I know some of you look at your preacher and say, man, look at him. Nick. Your preacher hasn't arrived yet. Your preacher's trying to grow in grace every day just like you. Amen. Hopefully, just like you. What do you mean? Man, we got to be growing every day of our life. Hey, look back what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is how important it is that we grow in grace every day, that we grow to be what God wants us to be. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Brother Hanks has preached on this quite often, and he's got a little book out on this, and he's talks about how you realize that that's like a stair step. It doesn't just all happen at one time. You're climbing a ladder. You're going up. Each step, you're growing in grace, trying to reach and attain another level where God wants you to be. Amen. But notice what he says here. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, all these Christian graces and virtues that we're supposed to be growing in, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And how often, preacher, have you counseled with people that battle and struggle with whether or not they're really even saved? And man, they'll give you testimonies about when they got saved but I just don't know, preacher. I just don't know. Why is that struggle and battle there? Because you're not growing in grace the way you're supposed to grow. Amen. Man, when we grow in grace, God strengthens that in us. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Man, we've got to continue to grow in Him. Without growing in grace, our end will not be better than our beginning. I think about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he penned these words, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. But he said this, and I love this, and everybody, every one of us ought to feel the same way. It says in verse number 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." What's he talking about? Man, I tell you, I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and him look at me and say, "The grace that I bestowed upon you, you lived in vain. You didn't. I wanted you to grow. I wanted you to keep going. I wanted you to become more." Man, we're going to stand before a judgment seat one day. Amen. And we're going to be a lot of tears shed over the works of our life and all the failures and all that. And God's going to wipe all that away. I get it. But I'm telling you, I don't want to cause any more grief to my Savior than I already have caused. Amen. What are you saying? Man, I want to grow in grace. I don't want his grace to be in vain in my life. Is his grace in vain in your life today? Do you sit here today? You're not growing. You're not becoming what he wants you to be. You're caught up in the world, the things of this life, the sin of this life, living life to please yourself. Man, get off that bandwagon and get on his. Amen. Begin to grow the way he wants you to grow so that your end can be better than your beginning. Amen. Another thing that will cause our, keep our end from being better than our beginning is living for our will rather than God's will. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 22 and verse number, Luke chapter 22 and verse number 42. And I'm going to read a few verses leading up to it. And this is in the garden, of course. Verse 39 says, "He came out and he went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed." That always amazed me. He wasn't very far away from them. They could have thrown a stone and hit where he was at. "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly as it sweat. It was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." What are you saying? Jesus, God in the flesh, setting the example for each and every one of us in our lives. What? That this is how we're supposed to deal with these temptations and trials and struggles and battles in this life. To do what we want. Amen. "Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I'm going to tell you, when you put your will over God's will, your end will never end up being better than your beginning. Amen. Jesus put the Father's will above his own will. Amen. And every one of us need to do the same thing. I don't know how many people I know that are just living to please themselves, living to do what they want to do, fulfill their will for life, what they want to accomplish for life. That hinders what God's trying to accomplish in our life. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Can I ask you today, are you living for your will or for God's will today? The only way it'll be better is if you put God's will first. Preacher, you've seen this too. I've traveled this country a lot. And I go to churches where there's people sitting in the pews. Went to Bible college, graduated from Bible college, sitting in the pews doing nothing. They ended up going to Bible college. God gave them a plan for life, and they got married and got caught up in church and decided, you know what, this is okay. It's better than, you know, not being in church or whatever. But God called them to do something. He had a will for the life. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. How many times I've talked to people, "Well, you know what, I think it's just too late." No, it's not too late. Gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Amen. What do you mean? Man, you just keep on going. You trust God and his will. Yeah, the times are going to be difficult. Yeah, they're going to be hard. But his will is always better than our will. Always. Amen. If you don't follow the will of God for your life, your end will not be better than your beginning. And then lastly, I'll just say this. What will keep your end from being better than your beginning? Never receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what it all boils down to. That's where it all begins. Amen. I didn't see any visitors that were here today, but that doesn't mean there's not lost people in the crowd. Amen. What do you mean? Can you take me to a time and a place in your life where you recognize you were a sinner, you were lost, you were hellbound, and that you needed a Savior, and realize that Jesus came and died in your place to take your death penalty, your sin penalty? And there's got to be a time and a place in our life where that happened. Yeah, I talk to people. You talk to people. We soul win. We talk to people. Well, I've just always been saved. You haven't always been saved. You didn't even recognize you were lost. Amen. You got to recognize you're lost before you can be saved. Amen. You got to be born again, as the Word of God tells us. Amen. You'll never remember your birth into this life, but you'll never forget when you get born again into the family of God. There's a time and a place that you got to go to. For me, it was as a 9-year-old boy in the Smoky Mountains of North Carolina, way back up in the hills where they had to pipe the sunshine in. That's almost no lie. I mean, way back up a holler. Everybody in that holler were related. My mom had 11 brothers and sisters, and we would go down and spend the summertime down there. And they'd have family reunion. You can imagine 11 brothers and sisters with all the children and all that. Man, we have as big as most churches. And they'd get together, and all the old family would start singing the old hymns and everything. And I had an uncle that was a Baptist preacher, and my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. And my uncle got up and started preaching on Isaiah 40:31, and they that wait upon the Lord. He was one of those old leather lung wind-sucking preachers. And I'm going to tell you, man, he was going to town, shucking the corn, as they say. But God was dealing with a little 9-year-old boy. All I can remember about that night, I remember what he preached on, the verse. And I remember that as a little 9-year-old boy, I knew I was on my way to hell. And I knew if I didn't receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, that that's where I was going to end up. Can you go to a time and a place like that in your life? If you don't have a time and a place where you realize that, then you're probably not born again. What are you saying? If you don't receive Christ as your Savior, your end will never be better than your beginning. Amen. What are you trying to say, Brother Martin? I'm just trying to say, God intended, from our text verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, God intended that everything about our life, the end of it, would be better than the beginning. If it's not happening in your life, it's not God's fault. It's God's intent, what he's trying to do. What is it in your life right now that may be keeping your end from being better than your beginning? Is it because you're living in the past? Man, let go of that stuff. Let go of that stuff. Look forward like the Apostle Paul said. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Stop worrying about it. Secondly, is it the affairs of this life? I believe there's so many of God's people that are caught up in the affairs of this life that they're hindering what the end should be in their life, what God's trying to do. Could it be that you're not growing in grace? This is the other thing. I preach more on this than anything, preacher. I don't know, but I preach on walking with God more than anything else. I believe the biggest failure in our churches today is people don't walk with God the way they're supposed to. Amen. Or is it his will, your will over his will? Whatever it is, if God's spoken to your heart, I pray you'd listen to him today. If you need to be saved or born again, today's the day. Today's the opportunity. Amen. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here this morning and to speak to your dear people. Thank you for this good church, Lord. They sure have been a blessing to me and my wife, our family, through the years. Father, I thank you for your word and how your word is like a precision tool, a precision knife that reaches in and cuts us where we need to be cut, that does a work on us that only you can do. And Father, I pray that we would all take maybe just a checkup on our heart today about where we're at in our life. Is our end right now, if we look at the beginning of our life and we look at where we're at even right now, is it better than where we began? If there's things that are hindering or keeping us from that, Lord, I pray that we deal with them today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask a couple questions. The first one is, how many of you could say, Brother Martin, when you were talking about that, man, my mind ran to the time and the place. I know I'm a child of God. I know I've been born again. I can take you to the time and a place. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony to the Lord? I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. I don't have any questions about that. I see those hands across the crowd. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. I appreciate your honesty. But if you sit here today and you say, Brother Martin, when you said that, I can't go back to that. I can't remember a time and a place in my life. I've just always thought I believed, or maybe you've never heard it. But Brother Martin, I don't know for sure, but I want to know, would you pray for me? Would you just slip a hand up? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Pray for me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure about that, but I want to know for sure. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? Then let me ask you this question. How many would be honest enough to say this morning before the Lord, man, I really want my end to be better than my beginning, but God has spoken in my heart about some things, and there's some things I need to deal with. Would you pray for me, Brother Martin? You'd slip a hand up. That's me. Pray for me, Brother Martin. I see those hands. I appreciate you being honest about that. Hands across the crowd. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray for you. The musician will be in the play. If God spoke to your heart, the altar will be open. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here today to speak to your dear people. Thank you for speaking to hearts. Thank you for the hands that were raised. But even more importantly than that, you know the hearts. You know people that maybe need to deal with you, Lord. But I pray that you'd help us to come to the old-fashioned altar. Maybe leave some things here today. Maybe leave the past here, Lord, and head on that direction for the new future that you have for them, Lord. And whatever it is, I pray that you'd help us to make things right at the old-fashioned altar today. Do the work you want to do. We'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Musician plays. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come?
Obey the Lord if God spoke with you this morning about any of those things that he mentioned. And especially if you're not saved, would you come? And just acknowledge that to God. Tell God, this is what I need. I need to do better at this. I need to not live in the past. There's not a better word in the English language that describes a Christian's association with this world, the affairs of this life, than that world, that word entangled. Entangled. Think about that. And if you get all tangled up, things are not going to get better at the end. Some of you are just starting out in your Christian life, just starting out. You say it's wonderful to be saved. Yes, it is. And God wants it to be even better the more you grow in grace. Tremendous thought today. What's going to hinder you from realizing the end being better than the beginning?